This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The United States government now has a 60% stake in General Motors after the automotive company filed for bankruptcy protection earlier this week. Now, President Obama has pledged that the company's board of directors and managers, not the U.S. government, will run the company. But there are people who say that with a 60% stake in GM, the government has an inherent impact on decisions about GM's future, and that raises any number of conflict of interest issues. Jeb Echeta has followed the auto industry for more than 30 years. He's a former editor-in-chief of Car and Driver magazine and joins us from member station WUOM in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mr. Echeta, thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Potential conflicts of interest such as...
Well, on the one hand, the government would like to get its money back one of these days. That means General Motors has to become a profitable car company and make sufficient profit to actually be able to repay these loans. On the other hand, the government is very concerned about energy, and that means more fuel-efficient cars. Mm-hmm. And the profitable company and the company that makes fuel-efficient cars might be two different things, particularly if gasoline stays inexpensive.
What about, does the government now have an active interest in essentially selling GM cars to people over Chrysler or Ford?
Well, it might. Now, the government, of course, has some stake in Chrysler as well, so maybe it's the Ford issue that comes up. And I think the government's going to be very careful about this. People would point out any obvious favoritism towards General Motors or Chrysler over Ford. The other thing is that Ford has managed to arrange its affairs in such a way that it hasn't had to borrow money from the government. And they deserve praise from this, not a disadvantage. So I think the government's going to be very careful on that front.
So there's going to be a conflict of interest when it comes to an issue like how can you close a dealership in some communities if you've got a powerful member of Congress there?
Well, that's already starting to come up. Both Chrysler and General Motors are doing a major number of dealer closings. Barney Frank called up the CEO of General Motors and asked him not to close a parts distribution center in his district in Massachusetts. And it was purely exercising the power that comes from this government ownership.
Can the board that will run GM be independent of the government?
That's another good question, because the makeup of the board is going to change. The government has already stated that they want at least half the members of the board replaced. And here again, it goes to the basic conflict of, is GM supposed to be profitable or is it supposed to save energy? If you put, for example, the head of the EPA on the GM board, that's going to be a real issue. So I think we're going to have to wait on that and see who the government really approves and appoints to the board of GM.
At the same time, let's say on the regulatory side, could there be pressure brought to bear on government regulators to give GM a break?
I don't think GM's going to get any special breaks, because the whole regulatory process is not geared to do that. It's transparent enough. I mean, you couldn't say go to Ford and ask them to get 40 miles per gallon and only ask GM to get 35. That's just too obvious in many ways.
Is it going to be possible for any government official to now have a Lincoln Town car, or do they all have to be GM?
No, I don't think they all have to be GM cars, but they might all have to be American cars. Given the immense difficulties the U.S. industry is going through right now, it's going to look awfully bad for a member of Congress to be driving an imported car. So I think that pressure is going to get stronger in the years going out.
Mr. Echeta, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Jeb Echeta, joining us from member station WUOM in Ann Arbor, Michigan.